شجاني وإن أدبرت ناداني وإن أقبلت أدناني وإن أحببت والاني.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Hello and welcome to another program. Thank you for joining us. Today we want to talk about the daughter of the Holy Prophet, Fatima Zahra, as a role model for women. And sometimes we might refer to her as Hazrat Fatima, which means the Honorable Fatima. With us in the studio is Sheikh Ahmed Hanif to discuss this topic. Salaam alaikum to you.
Wa alaikum salaam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you very much, and especially for this particular program about Hazrat Fatima Zahra, salamu alayha.
Okay. Now, do modern women need a role model?
I do think so, and I think if we could even expand that, I think all people need role models. When you look at society, you see that people in societies tend to behave in generally the same way. We call it culture, you know.
Okay.
And how people know how to behave in a certain way in different situations is because they take role models from each other. They follow each other. So everyone needs a role model, and modern women are absolutely no exception. In fact, I would think that modern women tend to have the wrong role models.
Okay, but Hazrat Fatima Zahra, she lived 1400 years ago. Do we need Hazrat Fatima as a role model in the 21st century? Aren't there contemporary women that we can take as role models?
I think taking Hazrat Fatima Zahra, salamu alayha, as a role model does not exclude us taking other contemporary people as role models as well. You know, I mean, lots of Muslim women, for example, take their role models from their mothers and their aunties and the prominent women in their society or in the religious field, you know. And that does not negate the fact that they also can take a role model from Hazrat Fatima Zahra. I think what we have to understand here is that there is the objective or the primordial aspect of women, you know, and then there is the relative aspect of women, you know. So you would find, for example, you know, one of the things that define women across the ages are certain things, you know, the act of motherhood, for example, the role of motherhood, you know, the role of wife, you know, and so forth, the role of sister, you see, and so on. This is something that is, you know, absolute in a sense. It affects and applies to all women over all time. You see? And then you have the relative aspect, you know, where you have, for example, women in contemporary history, you know, requiring certain things that are related to them in contemporary history. Or women in, for example, non-Arab society. Hazrat Fatima Zahra was Arab, you see? And so you'd find these relative aspects that also must be taken into consideration. So I think when we talk about Hazrat Fatima Zahra as a role model for women, you know, we are speaking about her as a role model for women in the primordial sense of the word, you know, in the absolute sense of the word, not in the relative sense of the word.
Why are we considering Fatima as a role model in the first place? Is there a hadith or something you can point out that we should even be considering her as a role model?
Well, because of the fact that Islam is the last and most complete religion, you know, because the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, is considered to be the best role model for all Muslims, because the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, said that Fatima is a part of me, you know, whoever hurts her, hurts me, you know, whoever pleases her, pleases me, We can see that that Hazrat Fatima Zahra is therefore a sort of feminine reflection of the Prophet. You know, she is also called Ummu Abiha, the mother of her father. You see, by virtue of the fact that she took care of him, she was connected to him in a very caring and loving way. Because of this, right, she reflects the perfection of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi.
What about Hazrat Maryam? About Asiya? What about these other women?
Yes, Hazrat Maryam and Hazrat Asiya and all of them too, they are similar in the sense that they are considered to be the chief women of paradise. Nevertheless, them as role models are a little less accessible, you know, because...
What do you mean a little less accessible?
Well, because they occurred at an earlier period in time, and we probably have less information about them than we have about Hazrat Fatima Zahra. Also, because Hazrat Fatima Zahra, salam alayha, is the chief of the women from the perspective or from the orbit of the Islam, Muhammadi Islam, which is the most complete religion, okay, she then becomes a more complete role model. Take, for example, Hazrat Maryam as a wife. We don't have any role model about her as a wife.
We don't have any examples.
Examples for her as a wife, you know, because she wasn't married, okay? As, let's say, for example, the wife or daughter of a head of state or ruler. We don't have any information on that. Hazrat Asiya, you know, she is the wife of one of the most oppressive and corrupt and, you know, awful of men, okay? Which is a good example for women who are the wives of such people.
In that situation, you know, for women, I mean?
It is something extreme, you see? And again, we have even less information about her. You know, so I think Hazrat Fatima Zahra, may Allah be pleased with her, is a more complete role model for us.
Well, what is her status? What about her personality and her character?
Well, as I mentioned before, she is the female version, the female reflection of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi. And that is very beautifully reflected in the statement that says that she is the mother of her father. Mm-hmm. You know, because when you look at that particular statement, and statements like these, they are statements that can only be understood on a metaphysical level. They definitely can't be understood on a biological level. You know. They don't make sense on a biological level. Just like, for example, the statement of the Holy Prophet where he says, I am from Hussein and Hussein is from me. You know, what is this I am from Hussein? If you look at it...
Hussein, the grandson of the Holy Prophet. Hazrat Fatima's son.
Yes. Okay. You know, if you look at it just on a biological level, it does not make sense. So you must see it on a higher metaphysical level.
Okay.
You know, on a level outside of time. Okay, and therefore on a level outside of temporal precedence. Mm-hmm. Okay, and what it indicates is that on that particular level, they have a very close identification. And that on that metaphysical level, she has a sort of generative role, you know, where the spirit of the Holy Prophet is concerned. You see?
What lessons are there for us with Hazrat Fatima as a daughter in relation to her father then?
Right. Well, as a daughter in relation to her father on the temporal level, we notice that he has a tremendous amount of respect for her. It is said that whenever she entered a room, he would stand for her. There are hadith where he had encouraged his followers, and he didn't stand for anybody who entered a room. Okay? But he always, when she came in a room, he always stood for her and always would give up his seat to her. Okay? And this was his daughter. You know? And this indicated her profound spiritual status where the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi was concerned.
Okay, let's take a break there and stay with us. We'll be right back.
Do you know about Hazrat Zahra, peace upon her?
Well, to be honest, whenever I come to these sort of lectures and these sort of like events, I learn something new every time I come here. So it's not a specific amount that I know. Whenever I come to an event or come to a jashan or a viladat or anything, I learn something new. So it's got ongoing knowledge on Bibi Fatima.
I think Hazrat Zahra, salamu alayha, she was a good mother, a good wife, a good politician even. So I think she's a role model in every category for all the Islamic women of our time. So Bibi Fatima Zahra, she's the perfect example for everything.
Do you think how Islamic events can contribute to preserve the religious identity?
I think they're very important. I'm very astounded by the reaction that we've got here as well. I mean, me and my sisters, we came to recite here. We recited in Urdu, but mashallah, we got such a great response from all the audience. I think it plays, these sort of events play a very big, major part in keeping the name of Islam and the message of the Ahlul Bayt alive in today's society. It's very, very important that the youth interact with these sort of events and do organise them as well, because if we don't carry on the message, who's going to carry on the message? It's up to us to do this. So I think it's really good.
Hazrat Zahra, she suffered a lot in her later life when her father passed away. And during that time, we can see how much of a devoted mother she was to her children, Hassan, Hussein, Zainab, Umm Kulthum, alayhi salam, and how devoted she was to her husband when, obviously certain things cannot be said, but when the times when she went to the court for her husband, the times when she fought for her right, Baghi Fidak. So Hazrat Zahra, there's so many aspects in her life that we can discuss, but this will take a whole lifetime. So if we take one aspect, it will take us years to look at it, because it's so broad, there's so much into it. Hazrat Zahra is a lifetime research.
How Muslim women in non-Islamic countries can follow Hazrat Zahra, peace upon her?
Well, if they just implement little things in their lives, like teach their daughters about hijab from day one. I know a lot of women, they don't teach the children anything. They'll send them to a mosque, and whatever they've been taught at the mosque, that's it. That's all their children know. Parents need to train their children since in every little thing they do, like when you're cooking or anything like that. Recite a qasida, Bibi Fatima, if you want. At home, whenever it's Muharram, get together, read Noha. Come to events like Ayami Fatimiya with your children. Watch Majalis, or you get to watch it online, like on channels like Ahlul Bayt TV, then there's Hidayat TV. Just watch them at home and get your children interacting in these sort of events, and that will keep the message alive.
And be live.
I think by practicing hijab, Muslim women should realize that this is our identity. When someone looks at us with our hijab, they will say that this is a Muslim woman. So hijab is the main modesty for me. But I think now today's society, as I went inside, women are active. Women do realize that they are Muslim women and they're living in Western countries. And alhamdulillah, a lot of women do hijab and keep themselves covered, so which is a really good thing. Women of today's society are asleep. And for them to be awakened and to realize that we are Muslim women and we need to remember that. I think Hazrat Zahra's birthday is the perfect day for all women to get together and to have a conference and to be united. And I think it's a joyous ceremony. I've been inside, it was absolutely lovely. The women were all really, really welcoming. And I thought, you know what, everyone should do it.
ويجد الطير في البستان لا أنت ولا أطرنا تفوح روائح الريحان لا أزكى ولا أطيب ويجد الطير في البستان لا أنت ولا أطرنا تفوح روائح الريحان لا أزكى ولا أطيب ويجد الطير في
Welcome back. We are glad you could join us again. We are talking to Sheikh Ahmed Hanif about the daughter of the Holy Prophet, Fatima, as a role model for women today. Now, you were saying that we were talking about the relationship of Fatima as a daughter to her father and how he would stand up for her when she entered the room and give her her seat. Is this a lesson for us? Is this saying that fathers should treat their daughters this way?
I don't think so. Okay. Right? Even though fathers should treat their, I mean, the Prophet's relationship with her indicates that fathers should treat their daughters with respect. Mm-hmm. Okay. Should show a lot of love for their daughters. You know, I mean, there have been many hadith that says, for example, you know, if you have three daughters, you are guaranteed paradise. Mm-hmm. Many hadith that go out of their way to emphasize the proper and loving treatment of daughters and so on.
This is at a time in Arabia when fathers were actually killing their daughters,
yeah, exactly,
isn't it?
Exactly, exactly. Mm-hmm. Where they thought daughters were a liability, really, you know. And I mean, you still have it today, you know. But this respect that he had for her was a particular respect, and many of the scholars and so on believe that this was because it was in response to her spiritual status. But as a daughter, she also is a model for us in the sense that she took care of her father. You know, she was always a source of solace for her father. And she was a young woman too. She wasn't, maybe she was still in her teens, you know, when she had this very profound role as being a solace and a comfort for her father.
Wasn't she comforting her father, I mean, from very early? I mean, her mother died when she maybe was about five,
right,
between five and seven,
right,
I imagine, yes.
Right. But again, this indicates her very profound spiritual status. For a young woman like this to take on such a profound responsibility and recognize this as part of her responsibility is quite unique, you see. And even many of her teachings and words, when we reflect upon the fact that it's coming from a very young woman, you know, with the depth and profundity that they have, it indicates to us that she was a woman who was really ma'asum and guided by Allah.
Okay. What about Hazrat Fatima Zahra as a wife?
As a wife, she was a very profound example for others, and I think especially in this modern time where the roles of the sexes have been confused, where you have problems, lots of problems in marriages, Muslim and non-Muslim marriages and so on, I think it would be very good for us to reflect upon her as a wife. She was a supporter of her husband's rights to the point where she was willing to go up against the state itself to defend his rights. She took the role of a source of solace and comfort for her husband, just as she did for her father. She was someone who saw her household activities as a calling, you know, as almost an act of jihad for a woman, to take care of the children, to cook the food and so forth and so on. Their marital life was one that was the epitome of cooperation. Imam Ali alayhi salam helped her, you know, in her household chores. I think this is something that a lot of like Eastern Muslim men.
Well, why do you say in her household chores? Were they hers?
That's a good question. They were without any kind of.
They were not.
Well, no, they weren't. Well, I'm just saying it was imposed upon her, right? Mm-hmm. But I think it's something quite natural that we see across the board, you know, in whatever society that we find ourselves in, that women voluntarily take on the responsibility of feeding the family, you know, of cooking the food and taking care of the house and so forth. We know that in Islam, mm-hmm. It is not something incumbent upon them, right? And a woman, a wife, could demand that the husband find a housekeeper for them and so on. We know this, you see. But still we find women taking on this particular role. And I believe that...
Why do you think we do that?
Because I think women are the... Yeah, women. I think women are the mazhar, the manifestation.
Let's have an English word.
Yes, the manifestation, okay, of divine rahmah in human beings.
Of divine mercy,
you see? And I think this is rooted in their fitrah. And this is why they do this. And it is very important for men to recognize this, you know, and to appreciate this, like Imam Ali alayhi salam did, you know, and to help them in this calling, in a sense, that they have. And the interesting thing is that Hazrat Fatima Zahra, salamullahi alayha, had a housemaid. Mm-hmm. You know, she had a woman who would do the housework. But the way she related with this woman is that they worked cooperatively in the house. She did not sit back as the prophet's daughter, you know, the daughter of the ruler of the state and so on, and expect the housekeeper to do everything. You know, she shared in the housework with this housekeeper. You know what I mean? They worked, I think, one day on, one day off type of a thing.
Okay.
You see? So I think what she's showing is that she is not separate from this calling of rahmah that is in her as a mother, you see, and as a wife. You know, that it was important for her to continue to express this, although she had a servant working with her.
Okay, so even though it is not, it's not obligatory on women from the point of view of Islam to do housework and so on, we find that women everywhere in the world, we take on this responsibility.
Yes. And everywhere in the world, men take on the responsibility of acting outwardly, you know, going out there and finding a job or taking advantage of the outward activities of society in order to support the household, to provide the financial and other resources for the household. And this is part of the divine economy. Mm-hmm. This is part of the divine economy in the sense that, you know, the divine names of Allah are sometimes categorized under the names of the outward and the names of the inward, you know, and men reflect the outward aspect. Men are the ones that go out and and upwards in the wider society in order to support the inward, okay, which is the woman in the house.
I have a question for you on that, but let's take a break and we'll be back in a moment. Stay with us. She is the lady of the word, word here and hereafter, from first to end, and Sayyidatun Nisa'il Alameen min al-awwaleen wal-akhirin. So that's why she is the role model for everyone, not for only ladies, but everyone. And she practiced the life, the way she practiced, it is a great example, like being a wife, being a daughter, how she behave, how she serve his father, how she serve his husband, how she serve her children. That there is hundreds of examples when we talk about. So, you know, we just talk a little bit. So I can't say, you know, in 10 minutes or 1 minute I can take it in one word or one sentence. But because she practiced her life according to Quran, according to Sharia, and according to a simple human being, and everyone can follow her life in their practices. And in my point of view, if there is any difficulties in our life in this last world, is this the last time of the world, if we follow the thinking of Fatima Zahra Salamullah Aleyha, or simplicity of Bibi Fatima Zahra, we can get off ourselves from that difficulties if we follow truly. Because all the difficulties around the world is like our needs and necessities, and if we follow her truly, according she was the great lady, she was the chief lady, she was the daughter of Prophet, the great honor, but she lived very simply. And her simplicity is the best example. Best, she gave her wedding dress the night of wedding. One of the Sayyidah Fatima Zahra Salam, she did charity. So if she can give her wedding dress before her wedding, so this is a great thing. How we can do charity? How we can care others? Like, the way she cared the human beings in Surah Dahar, if we follow that rules, I think the poverty will be finished and the old problems will be solved. So I think we missed one of the most important thing in our life about Sayyidah Fatima Zahra Salamullah Aleyha in practicing life. That's why we are suffering. We need to come out from suffering, from difficulties, from anything which is tough and hard, we have to follow and think. Welcome back. We are talking about the daughter of the Holy Prophet, Hazrat Fatima Zahra Salamullah Alaiha. May Allah have blessings and peace be upon her. Now, you were saying that we have these roles. Men have this outward role, and women reflect the inward role. But look at our present day society. Isn't that changing? We find that many women are working and men sometimes are staying home.
Yes, of course it's changing. For a number of different reasons, none of which I think are really positive. On one level, like in the West, for example, the male-female identity is becoming skewed towards the male, a masculine type of identity. Women see themselves and operate on a masculine basis, and true femininity is being lost. The aim for most people is to find a job, to be active in the outside community, and the home is becoming more and more just simply a place where you retire to after you come back from work. You know, it's a place of entertainment. You watch your TV, you go on the internet, and so forth. But it is not the place of tarbiya. It's not the place of nurturing, for example, a new generation of people. It is not the place where, you know, it functions as a sanctuary where you would go. You can go back to God in the quiet and stability of your home. You see, so you have this general shift and trend towards a sort of like a male ethos with respect to activity in society. Another reason is because it is becoming more and more difficult to live on one income. And you find governments not taking into consideration the importance for the future moral development of society, that you need a parent at home to bring up the kids, to train them, to teach them. This is now becoming more and more a responsibility of, again, outside agents. Mm-hmm. It's always a movement towards the zahir, towards the outward, rather than towards the inward. And so now people are expecting teachers to perform the role that parents should perform. They expect teachers to teach the children morals, and the parents the responsibility of parents to be lifted from morals. They expect this to start from kindergarten, you know, or from the creche, as we call it in the UK, you know, right up until university. And so there is no surprise that, young people, especially in modern Western societies, tend to be people who have no training. They have no manners, for example. They are disrespectful of society and so forth. And this.
So you're saying that teachers really can't do this job?
Teachers cannot do this job, you see, because it is a job that is based upon a relationship of love, you see. It's a job that is based upon example, right? A teacher is a worker, okay? That teacher fulfills a particular role. He has a job, okay? It's quite different from being a complete model. You might have good teachers, you might have bad teachers. Okay, you might have teachers who are just there to do their job and go home. So you find that what is happening is a lot of kids now are not getting the training and stimulation and cultivation that they can get from a mother. When we say, for example, the Holy Prophet says, heaven lies at the feet of mothers. Okay? What is at the feet of a mother? We have the statement, for example, learning at someone's feet. Mm-hmm. You know, where you sit at the foot of somebody and you learn something. Okay? That is through the mother that children are brought up so that they can go to heaven. You see? Because they are the mothers that train the children into loving God, into praying, and so forth and so on.
You know, it sounds all wonderful, But a lot of mothers are just tired and bored at home. They want to get out, and they don't do this job that you are describing in this society. What are we to do?
Yes.
Are you saying we need to go back to basics?
We need to go back to basics. That's number one. Number two is I think we tend to have a stereotypical view of the home. Okay? We think of the home as just being the insides of the house
in which you live.
The four walls. Mm-hmm. You know, your home is not that. Okay? Your home is your neighborhood. Right? Your home is your neighborhood. You know, your home are your neighbors. When we talk about in Islam, we say, for example, your neighbors are those people who extend 40 houses in every direction from your house. Okay? And your neighbors are extensions of your home. When you look at, for example, traditional societies, you would find that it's the neighborhood that brings up kids. Right? This is why, for example, we have these phrases, these terms, aunties and uncles, for the elders in a community. Because children are brought up to think that the elders in the community also have an important role to play in my tarbiyah, in my cultivation. And these people are extensions on a social level of my family, of my mother and father. They are the brothers and sisters of my mother and father. You see? And they have a role to play. In Africa, you have a statement where it says, it takes a village to raise a child.
Mm-hmm. 40 houses in each direction must be a village. It's a lot of people.
It's a lot of people, you see? So when we talk about the domestic, okay, we should actually envision it in a sense of concentric circles.
Can we go back to that? Aren't we too far gone the other way?
I think we can. I think we have to make a conscious effort to do that.
You think governments can go back to that? I mean, we're talking about, child care and support and so on, the welfare state. We're trying to knock it down, you know. Can we go back to that?
Well, I don't know if governments can, but governments could definitely support it. One of the reasons why I say that is because right now we are seeing the dismantlement or the dismantling of the welfare state, okay, citing economic austerity programs.
So mothers have to get up and go. Well, they can't stay home.
Well, not just mothers have to get up and go, but for example, we also have cutbacks in child care facilities, okay, and therefore parents and communities would have to find ways by which they could maintain childcare at an optimal level or even a better level. And this means that you would definitely need social cooperation on that.
Okay. All right. Let's move on a bit. What about getting back to Hazrat Fatima Zahra, because this is where all of this started. What about Hazrat Fatima Zahra as a social leader in our society?
She was a social leader because after the usurpation of the rights of the family of the Holy Prophet, mm-hmm. with the creation of the first Khalifat, her house was a place where the Ahl al-Bayti movement came to be nurtured. The people who did not support that political action used to congregate at her house.
Okay. What lessons can we learn in conclusion, basically, from, therefore, how can you sum up, what lessons can we learn from the life of Hazrat Fatima Zahra?
I think one of the lessons that we can learn is how to be a good daughter to one's father. I think one of the other, another lesson we can learn is how to be a good wife to a husband. Another lesson we can learn is how to be a concerned citizen and to care for your fellow human being. And also the importance, and most importantly, the importance of spirituality as a means of self-perfection.
Thank you very much. We've had Sheikh Ahmed Hanif discussing with us Hazrat Fatima Zahra, Salamullah Alaiha, as a role model for women today. Thank you for joining us.